All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I know this. Bunch of Memphis and Shelby County school teachers turning themselves in today. The kiddies ain't back, but let me tell you what the teachers are. They know what's up. It's a big commitment. Next, what, 180 days or so? And we wish them well. Certainly the entire school system, and we'll have all sorts of school systems getting back at it, but they had to get back to work today, start getting things ready for the young people.
Well, you at work today.
To come back to the schools.
You at work today.
Oh, no, but they've been off.
That is true.
They've been off. I'm sure, hopefully they had restful vacations to where they were able to get some peace, because let me tell you what, when them young ones come back in,
oh, God help them.
Ain't going to be no peace. Ain't going to be no peace. I think it's something like 180 days.
Yeah.
It's like a commitment, John.
That's right.
And so we wish them again the best as they get set to start another school year. We've got, you know, halfway point, sort of, trade deadline at least, when it comes to baseball. I'm watching because I'm monitoring my Cubbies. We need pitching. I'm looking back. Do I see Brad? Do I see Brad and the Cardinals? We'll let you know. Stay tuned. I've got my partner here, John Martin. Feels like the dead of summer.
This is the peak. There's no doubt about it. This is the dying throes of summer, and as we know it, right? Because summer league is over.
No more. No more summer league tickets.
There's really, like, you know, the Memphis roster is basically complete. Although they're going to add a guy that we're monitoring again the visa status of Majok, and then you know, of course. Sincere Parker news, we'll be waiting on that.
Yes.
And they may add one more, but in terms of impactful players, those guys are there. So not a whole lot going on there. And then, you know, I guess we have Memphis football camp getting underway this week. So that's interesting. But I think we've sort of laid out that landscape. I mean, we've laid that landscape out about, you know, 15 different times already about what the expectations are and what they're going to be and what fans are happy with and what's expected, all those things. We've already kind of done that. So, yeah, listen, this is the peak of summer, but we're going to make it through. Whatever it takes, I know we can make it through. You know, remember that Degrassi wheelchair Jimmy?
No.
You don't remember?
I'm ready to give it a chance.
Whatever it takes.
Today. I'm not going to come in here nasty today with you.
I know we can make it through.
Just, it's your key always throws it off.
That's right. Well, I mean, I'm tone deaf, brother. You know, God bless me with many things.
If it's for real, let me know and I'll stop playing about it.
I don't expect to be performing anytime soon at a local blues joint or anything like that. Like, I've accepted the things I'm good at this point in life. You know what I mean? Singing, not one of them.
Okay.
You know, that's okay. That's okay. But I still will sing. I will still sing. That's the thing. It's like, even if you ain't good at it, you should still sing.
Right. Sing like no one's listening.
Exactly right. And
like you're in the shower.
100%. So anyway, yes, listen, we're making it through together. And like you said, you know, I was talking about this with, you know, those college basketball guys. Like, some of their school years don't even get out. Their kids' school years don't even get out until June. You know, so when they find out that we're going back, you know, in July.
Yes.
Like it's just, it mortifies them. Like, they cannot even believe it. Like, they don't even think about going back to school until September.
Everything's getting moved up.
I swear. I feel bad for the teachers, man. You know, it feels like they don't even – their summer's probably at this point two months. That's it.
Now, I don't know about Collierville and all them. I figure they got another couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't know
all
either.
All your people in the municipalities.
I used to, you know, when Sam was in the classroom, I used to be able to tell you. But yeah. She is not any longer, so I don't know.
You know, I'm just monitoring what they're doing, what Joe Clark's doing over there at Eastside High.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, that's the show today. Jeff Calk is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the goings-on in Memphis, around Memphis, and more.
He had a little pressure bust a pipe list.
I heard.
Maybe we can talk to him about that, about his list.
I heard.
Very official today.
I did not expect to hear Alex Simmons' name in that segment.
How about that?
But
my ears perked up when I heard her name.
I'm like, damn, bro. Memphis women's basketball coach. Come on, man.
I'm not going to lie. I said, who?
I mean, that's great.
I
get what he's saying.
And I did. We're not going to joke around. I mean,
she is under pressure.
She needs to win.
Yeah.
I don't come in here every day thinking about it.
Exactly.
So I was surprised to hear her on the list.
I
do think about climbing.
Yep.
I think about Ja.
Yep.
I think about, and y'all know this, when I'm in the shower, I think about Silverfield.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking about, what's he going to do? Don't take that the wrong way. Understand what I'm saying?
I don't think anybody at this point is confused about your stance.
Is he going to get it done? As I contemplate coming into work trying to get it done myself.
That's
right. You see what I'm saying?
100%.
We're all measured by our results, are we not?
100%.
And so he's someone I think about all. Alex Simmons had slipped. She had slipped past me.
That's right.
I'm glad Jeff reminded me this morning.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, it, beauty is in the eye of the beholder there. Who he feels has pressure might be different than who we feel has pressure. So, and I think that's one where, I guess, again, she has pressure in. But didn't Melissa keep the job for like 15 years?
Was Melissa under any?
I mean, no, bro.
Did she ever make a Calkins pressure bust a pipe list?
She didn't. And I think he does need an answer for that.
Damn.
Yeah, like she never made a tournament and she was here for literally
however long she wanted, brother.
12 years, man. I mean, she never won the conference.
I said
Alex
Simmons.
She finished like fifth. Most years. Now, again, I mean, I know Alex had a losing record, but I honestly.
How many losing records did
Melissa have?
McFerrin have.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Lord Jesus. And never made a bus of pipe pressure list under Calkins. Amazing. No, she dodged it.
No, I do think he put that on there. Like, begrudgingly. I think he, you know.
Well, again, it's holding people accountable.
I tuned in after they had already put her on the list. So I don't know who was it Jeff that introduced it or was it Jeffrey?
This was Jeff Calkins.
Jeff Calkins.
Alex Simmons, God, you're on the hit list.
She was just driving around Memphis, you know, trying to get a bagel or something. And then she finds out that she's on the damn hot seat at Memphis. I mean, because when Calkins puts the gavel down.
What I heard was she better. Okay.
Damn.
That's the same thing he's writing about Penny going into the last season, wasn't it?
Damn. I mean, look, we have expectations around here now.
So, just know we've raised the bar there.
I don't know. I'll be totally honest. I don't know where Memphis's NIL and women's basketball stacks up.
Right.
If it stacks up well, I mean, they do have the FedEx money, which I assume is more than most teams in this league. You know, even if they have $500,000 to spend on NIL, I think that's probably more than most in this league.
No, we should turn up the heat, shouldn't we?
But I don't know that. I mean, to me, it's those two conversations are very, very related. It's easy now because the more money you have relative to your league and the rest of the country, the harder I'm going to be on you. I mean, that's just the way it goes. If you have less money and your stick isn't nearly as big to fight with, and you're scrapping and you're grinding and you're finishing third or like, I'm like, what? That's about right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you're the most well-funded team in your league, though, and you're consistently not winning the league or appearing in the conference championship game, you're going to be judged a lot more harshly. So again, I need to get into the numbers there, but those things should be related. Your budget and your performance.
I couldn't agree more.
So again, we're going to get on that. I think Calkins kind of shot from the hip on that one, if I had to guess, though. And that's okay. That's okay. That's why he's the best.
Yeah, it was a curve.
That's why he's the
and
best.
And it intended to make us think.
That's right. All right, Jeff Cogg's going to join us at 125 Hours Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. But as we sometimes will do and start the week with, we have a variety of topics that we'll weigh in on. They will either be cap or no cap. And we do a little thing when we put it all together. We call it cap or no cap. Let's
cap.
Get it right.
It means lion, but built different. Now, it's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Luka will win the 2025-26 Most Valuable Player. Cap or no cap.
Mm. Well, it's tough here to take when I got Luka and I got the field.
That's true.
You're a betting man.
Yeah.
You'd call me pretty dumb for taking Luka, not the field, no? Because a lot of things can happen.
Would I call you dumb?
Yeah.
No, I would not call you dumb.
Yeah.
How would I call you dumb?
I'm saying it's not smart. I don't mean that.
Well,
I don't mean that.
I mean, I'm not giving you the field. If you're going to bet it, you got to bet one person.
Yeah, but that's essentially what we're saying here.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Essentially what the question is.
Luka factors in very heavily. Less heavily than he once was. But he factors in very heavily. And so I think my guess is if I pulled up right now, he would be 2 or 3 at worst.
in odds.
Right.
You know, I assume Shea would be a slight favorite to go back to back. Then it's probably the Joker, and then Luka. That'd be my guess.
Can you win MVP on a team with Bron?
Yes. Yes. Because you're going to be second in the West again, in theory, maybe, possibly. You know, I mean, that would be, so the team is good. So you have
good, a hot, all because of you. Not,
right,
yeah.
Right. So you're making a, you have a floor. That's good. You have to be good to win MVP. I know, well, I don't remember what the stat was, right? It's like no team worse than fifth has ever produced an MVP in their conference. So, you know, do you believe they can finish better than that with LeBron? You'd hope so. So that's the first requisite. And then it's just like, oh, will the numbers be there?
What I'm with is the spirit of this. The spirit of this question. And it's the shape that he's going to be in.
Yes.
And that's what we should lay out, right? I mean, the guy's lost weight, has he not?
That's what this is about, really.
He looks unbelievable.
He's on the cover of Men's Health.
Have y'all seen these pics?
I hope that's real. I mean, I hope I'm not.
It looked AI-ish when you sent it to me.
No,
I wondered if it's his finish.
It is real. So the Men's Health, he's a cover athlete. Not the cover athlete, but the cover of this month's edition of Men's Health. Luka 2.0 has entered the chat. Since June, he has gone on an intermittent fasting plan designed to limit inflammation and help his body recover better. And as a result, yes, it looks like he has shed a ton of weight and toned up.
He looks like a different person.
Yeah.
All in the face and everything. I mean, it's not just his body. You can see it in his face and neck.
Yep.
I mean, odds are he's going to be healthier. He's going to play a full season because of it. But here's the point. When Nico did this, and Dallas essentially said, we're doing it. We don't want to pay him the $300 million-plus because we don't feel like he brings it every day in terms of commitment to his body. Mm. When that became the story of this trade, and all of us still saying, well, Nico's dumb for doing it, you basically put Luka in a spot, and then next to LeBron, who spends $1 million-plus on this offseason training stuff, you put Luka in a spot where there's only one way to respond.
Right.
And listen, if you're a professional athlete, you've been challenged here. This team's traded you, basically saying, we don't want to pay you because you're acting unprofessional with the way you approach everything other than bouncing the ball and, you know, going to, you know, leading us to the finals. I mean, that's the other part about that trade. Even in the shape he was in, he's pretty darn good.
Yep.
That said, you were, as they've said, and I don't want to steal it, but in essence, creating a monster, Nico, when you traded this guy and said he doesn't work hard.
Mm.
You've lit the fire on him. Oh, by the way, he's under one of the hottest microscopes in the NBA.
Exactly.
It's L.A. Exactly. Next to LeBron James. What are you doing? I mean, you did this to yourself.
Yep.
And so, man, more power to him. I don't know that he had another choice unless he just wanted to be considered, you know. We were already joking about, we talk about the stakes that he loved and everything else. That stuff's, those days seem done now.
Yeah. So here's the details. He has been doing two-a-days in Croatia while sticking to a gluten-free, low-sugar diet that includes at least 250 grams of protein and one almond milk-fueled shake a day. That's according to this Men's Health article.
Bro was drinking that beer. He had never drank almond.
Right.
What are we talking about here? Now he's on the almond milk?
That's right.
Boy.
I don't know if it's... I haven't had a chance to read the entire thing. It doesn't necessarily mention, alcohol, but... You know, obviously, he is committed to this regimen, you know, fully. I mean, people forget this, but when he came to the NBA, he dunked like he was an athlete. That his rookie year, that was it. It was really after that he kind of developed into the plotter. But he had some lift when he came over. It's just once he started eating that American processed food, man.
This is scary.
But yeah, I mean, I look right now
for the West.
Right now, Luka is plus 490 to be the MVP. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is plus 141. Nikola Jokic is plus 194. But I think if you believe that he's a new man, I think Jokic fatigue is a real thing. He's already won this award a bunch. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, it's hard to go back to back. It's been done, but it's hard. And you wonder, like, all right, they won the title. Will he play as many games? I mean, I think Luka at plus 490 is a good bet. I really do. I think he's absolutely going to be in the conversation all year long. He peak motivation, and I think there's an appetite in the NBA to give it to him. I mean, he's 26. You know, it seems like it's his time. So I'll say he does win it.
There's going to be some that want to give LeBron too much credit in terms of, you know, what you need to be the MVP, it's almost got to be you putting, you know, that team on your back. Them, they're not being another guy. And I suppose for OKC, we can say, well, Jalen Williams sort of became a Robin, but he's SGA is so clear cut ahead of him, leads the culture. It's he's not of that ilk. LeBron's different. LeBron was the guy before Luka, and I just wonder if all the media is ready to hand it over and say this is a result of Luka Doncic as opposed to LeBron. So that's that. All the other points I'm with you on. He's got yes, they'll probably finish high enough. Now, again, filling out the rest of that roster is still an important thing, and getting steady play at center is and for a whole season is an important. I don't know if they've got enough depth there. All that said,
right?
I'm going to go. I think the amazing thing of this story is that you've fired this guy up,
and
it's bad for the West. It's bad for every team in the West. It's bad for the Grizzlies.
Right.
It's great for the Lakers. And if you're in their front office, how are you not sitting back like a big Cheshire cat in terms of the deal you pulled off? You didn't have to trade mortgage your whole future.
Yep.
And now you maybe are about to see the best Luka we've ever seen. I mean, keep in mind, him and Kobe, same height. You know, but Luka's playing at what, 240, 250? If he starts getting down 220, 215, and we get an in-shape dude who's bouncing back from injury, and oh, but now he's not out 6 weeks for an ankle or whatever. He's out two or one.
Yep.
Beast.
No doubt.
And we said they already had their future, their next 10 years, the Lakers.
Yep.
You know, based on the Luka they had.
Right.
Oh, man. I mean, can you imagine what this team could do now if he's this guy the rest of the way? Staying committed, staying like this will be the key, you know. Have you turned a corner for life?
Right.
Lord knows you've come up a certain way, so I'd be interested to see that. This is scary, I would say. I'm going to take that it's cap just because it's going to be hard to do to pick him today on this team. I think Jokic is a guy probably could be back in winning it this year.
Yeah.
But this story, I'm with the spirit of it is as this they've created a monster as the headlines look like they're saying.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely
his body looks amazing.
And he seems motivated. So yeah, I'm gonna buy it.
They embarrassed him.
Exactly. I mean, you know, because he had done it all at that point. He had, you know, gone to a finals, been 5-time all first team NBA. So now you've lit a fire under that guy who probably needed something to jolt him.
Don't forget J.J. Redick at the end of the season. We said it.
That's right.
He talked about being in shape, guys needing to be in shape. We said it. That's only about Luka. Everybody else on that team was in shape.
He did play him 24 damn straight minutes.
Well, we said he was a fool for doing that, and you had LeBron out there as well the entire time. You played all your starters in the entire half. That's not happening.
Insane.
But point being, it was a challenge from J.J. Redick, from your head coach. You don't typically see that to a guy that's going to be perhaps up for MVP. Direct shot at him publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like I said, there was only one way to respond.
Right.
When everybody from the organization to the head coach to, you know, everybody that, you know, criticized this trade, whatever else, has said, well, this is the reason they did it. There was only one way for him to respond.
Exactly. All right. Cameron Ward, Titans quarterback, will go over his passing yard prop, which, by the way, is set at 3,200.5 with the Tennessee Titans. Is that cap or no cap?
That's no cap. He's going over. Yes. Well, Caleb Williams threw for 3,500 last year, and we were a hot mess.
Yeah, but he had the great Matt Eberflus.
That was getting sacked the most times in the league. The Titans got a good offensive line.
Do they? Certainly, I honestly don't know.
Certainly better than, yes, and better than the Bears last year. Now, the Bears went and made some changes, got Tooney and everything else.
Right.
This year, we'll see. The Bears are hoping, we got a line like the Titans. My point is they have a better situation in terms of a passing. They have a better situation the Bears had last year for Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, we don't know on coach. We were talking about that with Ben a couple of weeks ago. What is their identity? We don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Cam's got to help establish that. But that's a relatively low number. And what we've seen Stroud go over, 4,000 2 years ago? And then I want to say Jaden Daniels last year sort of in that 3,600, maybe 3,800 range. We can pull it up.
Right.
But this number seems low. I'm going to go yes. No, yeah. He's going over this number. They'll be behind is the other part.
Yeah.
And with Will Levis out on IR because of the shoulder, you know, Cam, of course, I mean, you probably already imagine he's going to start week one, but there's nobody behind you. There's not even if he plays bad for 3-4 weeks,
yes,
maybe we bench him like Anthony Richardson or something and let him, You might not do that. Bryce Young might have been a better. Didn't they bench Bryce Young for a second? That might have been a better example.
Yeah, they did.
Anthony Richardson got himself benched. But.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I mean, I don't really understand.
Seems low to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that game script is going to be favorable to the Titans this year. You know, like in terms of, all right, we get to hand it off to whoever.
Pollard.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even how they play now. So I can only bet the over on this. Because I just, you know, first of all, I think Cam is going to be a good NFL quarterback. I do. I think he's got the, you know, I think he's got the flair. You know, he just has the sort of makings, I think, of a good NFL quarterback. But I don't think this is a team that wants to win 17-14. I don't think this is a team that can win 17-14. I just think they're going to be, you know, they're going to be trailing by two scores for most games, you know, and he's going to have to throw the ball. So, yeah, if you think he can do that, then why would he not go? I mean, the only thing you have, like when you're betting things like this, it's only a matter of, like you said, does he last the season?
Right.
I mean, that feels like the only thing and by the way, that's a real thing in the NFL. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at.
One thing about him in Miami, he would hold on to that ball, much like Caleb Williams, instead of trying to make a highlight play,
right.
And oftentimes he would get away with it. You do that in the NFL, you are increasing the chance that you get injured,
yeah.
That you get rolled up on. He was, what, 35, about 3,600 last year, Jaden.
Yeah.
I meant to throw that in there. We're saying 3,200. Both him and Caleb Williams were over this number fairly easily.
Yeah,
last
to
year.
Your point, I
but
mean,
both played.
Yes.
That's the key, as we said.
CBS says that their interior of Zeitler, Cushenberry, and Skoronski may be one of the five best interior units in the league.
In football, yeah. Yes. Great offensive line.
I mean, I don't really know why he would go under this unless he's just bad. I mean, Will Levis had the worst rate of plays with sacks, interceptions, and fumbles in the last 15 years. I don't know what he threw for last year. I assume he did not go over 3,200. He went
2,091.
But I mean, he was the worst quarterback we've seen in 15 years.
That's 12 games too.
You know, in 12 games. So, look, I think the fair questions are like weaponry in Tennessee. What is it, like Lockett and Ridley?
We still got Ridley, who's last 3 years over 1,000. I believe I heard Calkins say this morning. I don't think I realized it was three straight thousands, but better than I'd given him credit for.
Jaden Daniels was, like you said, he was 35 last year.
36 this year, 35, 68.
But he ran a lot.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
I don't think Cam Ward will run nearly as much as Jaden Daniels. I don't think anybody will run nearly as much as Jaden Daniels did. So I would go over. I mean, I again, these are NFL markets, so I don't think you're like getting over on anybody. But if I was going to bet Cam Ward, it would be to the over.
Yeah.
Just because.
I think you're going to hit this later.
Yeah.
I think we've talked you into it.
Yeah.
This is a real number.
It's as real as it gets.
I'm surprised. It feels low.
What would you set it at 3,500?
No, I would go 3,350, 3,400.
Yeah. Yeah.
Based on where the last few quarterbacks have been. Remember Stroud 2 years ago was over 4,000.
Yeah.
His protection is a big part of that.
I mean, I wonder, like, if like the Titans being better and this going under are related. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's a deal where you can actually like salt away a game on the ground where you don't need him, to, you know.
You tell me, do they have the backs that can do that?
I really don't think so.
Pollard and
Spears.
It's not the wear you down.
Agreed.
Hey, we'll run play action and you know.
Right.
You know, two of the three plays on this will be runs. It doesn't seem like that's what you got there.
I agree.
So that will get them behind, and they'll be playing catch up behind a pretty good line. He'll be chunking it.
I agree. Yeah, I tend to believe that's how that offense will look. But I don't know. It's just impossible to really extrapolate anything from last year because Will Levis was so bad.
Right. And again, Callahan, I have no feel for.
Exactly. So I guess we'll find out. I would not get carried away with the Titans. You know, the Texans are not going to lose that division. It feels like with Stroud and D'Amico. I mean, I just feel like they a high ceiling team in the conversation for the conference.
Have they peaked?
You know,
I sell you on that.
It was a little concerning CJ's step back. Mm-hmm. And I think like. If we're really going to break down his weapons, it's pretty thin after Nico. I mean, I don't really know what they did. I don't think they really brought in anybody at receiver.
I thought
they?
We looked at this and we said some little short receiver from Jacksonville or something.
Oh, Kirk, that's right.
Yep, yep, yep.
I mean,
possession receiver. It's not like, you know, right. You got a guy that's going to catch 16 touchdowns.
But you also have Joe Mixon, who's already hurt.
I saw that.
You know, I know you brought in Chubb, which is a good thing, but is he going to last?
I wish my Bears had signed him, but you're right. He might not.
Tunzel's gone.
Their offensive line was concerned last year.
Yeah, with Tunzel. Did he retire or something?
No, he's with, I want to say, Washington now.
That's big time for Washington.
Mm-hmm. If he's still, and I think there's a lot of football left in him.
I mean, he was the only bright spot on that offense.
So I don't understand what they're banking on offensive line wise. Yeah, because was his left side.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, the Jaguars should feel like they're in the mix. I mean, because the Texans, you know, they got question marks, man. They do. I mean, Kirk is solid as a two. He's not going to light the world on fire, but he's a solid, like you said, possession guy, can move the chains a little bit. But that offensive line is a huge question mark, man. Huge question mark. Defense, we know, will be, you know, high floor. But I don't know.
It's just not a, you know, Titans can be in the mix. If Jacksonville and Houston don't want to take a step forward. Yeah, they don't want to be there out front.
It's a division that you would want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wish the Raiders were in this damn division.
They have the offensive line for it, perhaps, just to stay competitive there.
Maybe so. So, yeah, I think we both agree he's going to go over. Cam Ward's going to go over his passing yard prop. All right, Coach Prime will step away later today. So let me give a little bit of background here because I don't know how many people are hip to what's happening in Boulder, but he's going to give a press conference along with his medical team in about 30 minutes.
Wow.
And the expectation is that he is going to step away due to I don't know what they will call it. I don't know how it will sort of be framed, but health reasons is the expectation. For the people that I've talked to, there actually has already been a report today from a college football Twitter account. Again, I don't know how reliable it is, but you know, they have mentioned that Deion Sanders is college football transfer portal has 45,000 followers. Sources tell me that Coach Deion Sanders will step away from coaching the University of Colorado football team due to health-related reasons. Announcement set to be made at today's press conference.
Mm.
He said in a YouTube video posted, I believe, yesterday that he had to make a will because of his health issues. It's not easy at all to think that you may not be here, is what he said. So, again, we're going to know in about 30 minutes, but it all signs are pointing to him stepping away from Colorado, you know, because of, you know, the health reasons. I'm sure they'll get into it, whatever they are. I'll just say this, man. I hope that it's temporary. I hope that it's not forever, because while I had my doubts at the beginning of the tenure, you know, what is undeniable is that this guy brought real juice back, not just to Colorado, but to college football. I mean, he made Saturday nights in Boulder, like, he had that thing jumping, bro. Like, I was watching, I'm like, man, you know, we got the chains out, we got all the celebrities out, like, it was fun. It was a fun thing for, you know, college football is so buttoned up, it's so pageantry, and you got Prime at Colorado, you know, it just felt different, it was fun, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And so, it will be a net negative for college football if he's not involved next year. It will make me sad. And obviously the most important thing is his health, and that hopefully he can get the care that he needs. You know, and I understand that if that's the main priority, you know, it's going to be tough to coach a football team. But man, all signs point to it, and he'll be missed. I mean, college football will miss him if he's not there next year.
Yeah, I think just because, like you said, the huge figure he is in college sports, I think sometimes I take for granted what he's been through health-wise already with the toes and everything else. We've seen him joke about it with Shannon.
Yep.
But what we know is those were dire circumstances to have to lead to the amputation of that. And that's sometimes I hope he hasn't, in a way that, you know, wanting to coach his son, wanting to coach Travis Hunter, wanting to be, you know, continue his climb in college football, that he hasn't taken for granted how dire a situation this could be, just in the sense of putting it off. You know, maybe he needed to do this earlier.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I pray it's not too late in this case, because it sounds, I mean, if that word's out that, you know, we already think he's going to step down, boy, has this thing moved a lot further along than I had thought. I mean, I had pictured him being back on the sidelines again and just sort of surviving this like he survived everything else and being positive all the way through it.
Yep.
And so I hate this for Deion's family, obviously. I hate it for Colorado if it's the case and he ends up and I have no reason to not believe that this is where we're headed. So, he proved everything he needed to in terms of the coaching thing. We all had doubts when he came into, you know, even the Jackson State situation. You know, what had he proven at prime prep? You know, some have questioned that. But again, he didn't just do that. He ends up reestablishing something that at Colorado had long been dead in terms of any pride or tradition there. It had been years. And to see him raise that up, man, yeah, salute to the way he did it and hate to see it end like this prematurely, perhaps, having to step away. Hopefully it's just temporary.
Right.
You know, that he can get back out there. But my hope is that he hasn't put off his health, you know, in the efforts and desires to coach this football team. He hadn't put off too much of maybe what needed to be a break earlier to try to take care of yourself. You know, it's life and death. If you're talking about a wheel.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think from his, you know, standpoint, he's done what he's, you know, needed to do athletically and competitively in his career. I mean, you know, I don't think there's any, you know, I mean, I guess if you want to win a championship at Colorado, that's going to be tough to do. But he coached his son, you know, two sons he coached at Colorado, and Shiloh and Shadur, you know, got Travis Hunter and got him through. People will make jokes about that. I mean, they'll say, you know, now that he's not coaching his son, he doesn't want to do it anymore, which that may be, first of all, that's his right. I mean, he has the, you know, it's his prerogative. Yeah. If he doesn't want to coach anymore because his sons are done, that's his prerogative.
You'll always have haters and doubters. There are those of us that said, well, he won't be able to do it at this level. He can only do it at Jackson State and HBCU or something like that, right? That doubted that. He stepped into that. You'll always have people that are saying the other side, playing contrarian, whatever. Maybe they truly believe it, but I don't think Deion's never let them folks stop him. And again, hopefully, if he wants to continue to coach, this is something that he can take care of right now and get back. But, you know, whatever's in his, at this point, you know, whatever brings him the most peace, he needs to obviously take the time necessary to get this squared away.
Yes, absolutely right. So, we'll know officially in the next, you know, 20, 30 minutes. But definitely seems like, you know, that's the way that is trending. And I assume they just, you know, promote an interim. He's got some NFL guys on that staff still, doesn't he?
A bunch, it feels like.
Who would get it?
Who's his play caller? I thought it's some big name.
Let's see.
Now maybe he switched off the guy that I'm thinking of.
Dude, he's got Marshall Faulk on his staff. Did you know that?
I don't know.
He's his running backs coach.
I don't know if I knew that.
Pat Shurmur, would that be the guy?
Shurmur.
He's the offensive coordinator. That's the only. I mean, you got Warren Sapp there as the defensive pass rush coordinator, but we knew that.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it would go to like a Pat Shurmur. Isn't he a former NFL coach?
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay, I want to say. I don't know, head coach? Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Interim, maybe? Maybe
Browns.
He was the head. Okay, Browns.
And then he was an interim. He was the interim in Philly, coached the Giants as well.
Cool.
So he's been a head coach twice and interim once. I mean, that's easy. He's given to the former NFL guy. I don't know if he's good or not, but. You know, that's how you handle it.
Depends.
That.
Yeah. Are we talking interim? Or are we talking just, you know?
Yeah, fair question. So I mean,
for now, yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, what's interesting for Colorado is I was talking to a buddy of mine that lives in Denver, you know, and he's very, you know, in tune with what's going on in Colorado. And you know, I think if, like, Deion stepped away today, if this was it, like, his impact on Colorado should be, I honestly felt, for a generation, because I think what he accomplished more so than wins on the field, I think he showed Colorado and reminded Colorado, hey, this is what it can be when you got the right person there. Like, this can be a good place. This can be, you're getting, you know, I know his son was always going to go where he went, but make no mistake, Juju Lewis is there now too. You know, I don't remember exactly what he was in the country, but he was a top ranked recruit come out of high school. They got the kid from Liberty. Caden Salter, who was one of the most sought after quarterbacks in college in the portal. Like, they got, I mean, Colorado's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful part of the country. I assume you got boosters excited again. So now you've given them a little bit of a bite of this apple. It won't be prime. It won't be the prime experience. You won't get all of that.
Right.
But, like, he resuscitated the program, it feels like. Like, hey, if we invest in this thing and we care about it, I mean, this is a school that won a national championship many, mm-hmm. many years ago. So I think he accomplished that. He kind of showed, hey, Colorado football can still matter in today's day and age.
Absolutely.
You know, and that was only going to happen with Prime there at the helm.
I don't know. There aren't going to be many like him, John, that can bring the cachet to a job does. And all of a sudden you've got every camera that ESPN's got in your town. Let's just be real. Bill Belichick, it feels like, has got some of that going for him right 100%. Now in North Carolina. But there are only going to be so many of these guys that move the needle. Most of them are going to be coordinators we've never heard of, right, and having to get familiar with them and all that. I mean, maybe your diehard SEC fans that knew Sumrall, you know what I'm saying, the coach at Tulane. But most of these guys aren't going to move the needle for us. And so, to have a guy like Deion, I mean, you're probably – these guys are few and far between.
Right.
In terms of generational, in terms of what they can create.
Yes.
Instantaneously.
No, you're right.
Deion,
I mean,
and Deion did that.
You can't get that guy, but you can maybe get a guy, you know, and give him a budget, and you could be a very, very good Big 12 team. I mean, that's what I would aspire to be. I mean, you were a doormat in the Pac-12 for however long.
Here's what I'm saying. Like, and his son helped. Like, having his son helped.
No doubt.
But Eddie George ain't popping.
No, he's not.
And he's a great NFL player, right? Maybe, you know, not the player Deion was, but you also have to be great. There's so much that goes into it. You have to be a coach that can, you know, back it up. You know, talk the talk, yeah, but walk the walk and make guys better and everything else. But and then maybe you got to have a kid that's playing too. It's got to be the right formula. But not every former NFL player that we all, you know, loved at one point who's decided, hey, I'm going to go be a coach, is going to be able to pull this off, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely right. So we'll see. Hopefully, you know, everything is okay with Prime. And then finally, Jerry Jones should step away from the Dallas Cowboys. Now, as we know, we've talked about this before, you know, he won't pay Michael Parsons. And in fact, he's almost been trolling him a little bit, right?
I would say so. He's talking about, you know, time missed, him and Dak, and kind of teasing this whole thing. Well, you know, sometimes those guys miss time. He's brought up Dak Prescott missing time after signing him. And so, I would call it almost, you know, kind of publicly teasing these guys in a way.
Well, there was an opening ceremony at Dallas Cowboys training camp, and Jerry Jones went to the microphone to address the fans, mm-hmm. and this is what ensued.
Down to business. I was shocked last year when we ended up with a record that we had. I never saw that coming. I want you to know, and I want you to look for as you watch practices this week. I want you to watch what we've done in the areas that we needed to work on. Look at what we've done in this offensive line. Look at what we've done, if you will, with our receiver core. Look at what we're doing with our defense. A lot of changes out here. A lot of coaching changes. A lot of player changes. There are going to be Dallas Cowboys of the year of 2025. Let me get mine straight. But folks, we are so proud to have this practice, get this team ready, build this team in front of you. Thank you for your support. Great to be having you here. Thank you.
So you hear the boos, you hear the pay Micah.
Man, those are his own people.
His own people. Now, he did address it. He said, I heard it light, but not compared to how I heard them say pay Lamb last season. That was a faint little sound compared to the way they were hollering last year, pay Lamb.
This dude.
So he it seems like he ain't sweating it. He's also, you know, sounds senile, really. It's hard to listen to in a way. He sounds kind of combative, you know. But again, it's his franchise, so he can run it as he sees fit. But yeah, I did not. If I was a Dallas Cowboys fan, that's a bad place to be.
Yeah, and I believe he believes it's 1925.
Yeah, no question. What year is it? The Cowboys haven't been to the NFC Championship game since Tupac was charting.
Right.
So, That probably he probably is stuck in that year.
Trolling is the best way to describe it. What he's done to his players, what he's doing to these fans, essentially, all of it. Even still speaking openly and on the mic like that, I'm not sure that it's serving any purpose other than him serving himself. Mm. You know, that need to, you know, that feel that ego, all that stuff. But those fans clearly feel a certain kind of way about him. And these sorts of speeches and where the Cowboys are right now. And it's time to, maybe it's hear from your son, maybe it's got, you know, it's a spokesman that's, hey, to the point, it's got something to say, and it's a little bit more rah, rah, rah. But what is the point of rolling yourself out there? And now you're only sounding more mixed up. It's not like your mind's getting any sharper, it doesn't feel like. Maybe right. You feel that way,
right.
But it's not coming out that way. And so I'd go back to, again, a sort of rather a dignity thing here. You know, I don't know that it's serving you well. It's kind of looking like you're out of control in terms of, and then you start thinking about, okay, well, the decision making and some of the things that are happening behind the scenes. I hate that Micah Parsons is having to come out after every camp day and answer to these questions about, man, what's it, how does it feel to just kind of, you know, be put off to the side like this? Questions along those lines.
Absolutely.
That's rough of your employees. And Jerry's talking about, I got to feed my family too. And, you know, that's wow. And so to say that, and now to throw in this latest one, man, they wanted CD worse than they want, you know, they were yelling, clamoring for him last year louder than they were for this. I ain't too worried about this. Come on, man. We know how integral Micah Parsons is to that defense and that entire team.
Yep.
And for the most part, he hadn't been a pouter like CD Lamb's been.
Right.
Micah, yeah, he runs his mouth and talks about, you know, some of the circusness of the franchise. Maybe Jerry doesn't like that as much, but he hadn't been nearly the powder or the guy who maybe doesn't show up the way CD was and try to get his money.
Right.
Come on, man.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. It is kind of nuts what's going on. But anyway, I will say this about the Cowboys. They do pay everybody in the end.
Just late.
Yeah. They paid Dak. They paid CD. Who have they not paid?
The offensive lineman a year or two
didn't
ago.
He get paid,
I feel like he got his money.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. I can't remember. Was it Martin?
Martin. I feel like it was.
And I think he's since retired.
Yeah, I think he's gone now.
He did get paid.
He got it. He got it late. I remember it going into camp. That's what feels like the last one of these.
Right.
But I guess CD? When did CD get his?
What's
the timeline on CD? I don't remember.
Last year.
Yeah, like he talked about, but did it go into, how deep did it go?
I don't know exactly when it happened. Late August.
He makes them all wait.
Late August. Because remember, CD didn't play in the preseason. He was holding out.
He's the most recent.
Yeah. And it went all the way into late August. But he did get paid. He did ultimately get the money. So, I mean, it's like, you know, I guess Jerry feels like he has to play the game a little bit and make these guys wait. But he's always, at the end of the day, like, if you're playing a game of chicken, he always is the first.
Well, and his son said Micah's got to want to sign it too, as if,
right?
You know, he was doing some public negotiating there, that there's some stuff that Micah wants in there, that we've got a deal out there that we like, and Micah hasn't come to it. So, I don't know if, you know, you almost, it just feels like for a guy like Micah Parsons, you have to buckle in and give him everything he wants. But perhaps he's being a little bit insane as well with some of the contract demands.
Yep, absolutely right. All right. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Again, we're going to be waiting on this Prime news in about 15 minutes to see, you know, what exactly, you know, will be the announcement. But obviously, it seems like the big news of the day in college football. We'll come back. Jason and John, are you trying to film ESPN? Black Tie Moving is changing moving in the city of Memphis, because when you're moving, you're not just moving pieces of you're not just moving things, you're moving pieces of your life, and they treat your stuff like it's theirs, basically. You can do your research, look around, if you won't take my word for it, but everybody that's used Black Tie that I know is glad they did. I used them twice, and it was just very simple. Like, they showed up when they said they were going to show up. They were pros. They got done quickly. They weren't running up the bill. I mean, they got other stuff to do, too. You'll have a very positive experience with my friends at Black Tie Moving, but you got to get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the phone number. Black Tie Moving, changing, moving the city of Memphis. Call today. So we do have some details sort of emerging about this Deion Sanders press conference, which again is scheduled to take place, you know, in the next 8 minutes. But according to a picture that's got posted from someone there, but the stage has been set for Coach Prime's pressure at 11. Alongside Coach, there is a doctor there who is the director of urologic oncology, which I assume at Colorado. So if you look up a urologic oncologist, they are a medical professional who specializes in diagnosing and treating cancers of the urinary and male reproductive systems. So that's, again, I think we can sort of start to paint a picture here. It doesn't seem like a good one, but we'll know officially in the next few minutes just where this is with Coach Prime. And again, thoughts, definitely with him and his family as they are navigating a very difficult time, it seems like, with his health. All right, over to ESPN.com. You said it when the show started, Jason. I mean, we're in the offseason now. The NBA basketball season is over. Summer league's over. Draft is over. Training camp won't be for another, 2 months, ish. So we are on to the offseason. These guys are, this is when you take the trips, man.
Well, if you jive, you go on a world tour.
China. He was in China, and he was, doing things that I think we admonish, with those kinds of dunks. No, don't be doing those, man. I know you got to wow the people there.
Dude, you got to sell the job three.
But
which come out here, by the way, start of August.
Oh, really? They're coming out that quickly?
The first pair, you can get them.
What are they looking like?
Pretty cool. Pretty sleek. More sleek than the two, I would say. These are gray. What's that? Not the Nike app, but the other ones where you can get them this time. You know what I'm talking about? Sneakers
mm-hmm.
app.
Mm-hmm.
February, August 5th, I think. Okay. August 5th.
Yeah. And so what,
I'll show it to you. They've turned he answered a question about it. They've turned the Nike sign, in this case, with this version, into the J of Ja to then look like Ja on the side. You see it?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
John is now looking at my phone.
It's beautiful. It's
called the Light Show.
It's the most beautiful shoe in the history of the world. It's one big, beautiful shoe.
People are texting me reviews as we talk about it. It will be available August 5th. At 9 a.m. So what is that? That's next week.
Yeah.
At 9 a.m. And yeah, it looks like Ja. It's called White and Dusty Cactus Light Show.
Okay.
White and Dusty Cactus are the colors. Light
yeah,
Show is the
name. I'll wait.
125. First Ja 3 available.
They used to be 110.
These have gone up a little bit. They look a little tigerish on that one side.
They do.
They don't have the color. I guess that would be the inside.
But, I think, white and dusty cactus is just not the colorway that I'll be buying.
It's for this to be the first one, it isn't as wow as it could be.
Right.
Although, again, they've used the Nike sign, the swoosh, to be a J. I'm not sure we've done that with anybody else's name.
No, it's very innovative, mm-hmm. as we expect. But, again, not going to be the one I purchase.
Every time, and I'm reading from the Nike Ja 3 pitch, every time Ja steps on the court, it's showtime. To help him elevate his game, we worked with Ja to make his bounciest signature shoe so far. The Ja 3 is light, tough, and a game changer with full-length hybrid Zoom X foam. Zoom X is crazy responsive, Ja says. I call it that jet fuel. Mm. We call it bad news for his defenders. Mm. This is great.
Yeah.
It has a direct quote from Ja.
Yeah.
So I won't read anymore. I don't need. These things are hot.
Look, there's a couple of storylines.
They're going to go fast, it feels like.
There's a couple of storylines, I think, that hang over this season. It's how will the Grizzlies play without Desmond Bane? It's will Cedric Coward, fit in? Will he be a starter? And then I think the third one, I think this is incredibly important, is will Jason get a pair of Ja 3s? Many people know that you opted out of the Ja 2.
I stayed out.
Some people would say that was a statement, that you were making a statement with that decision because you have every pair of the Ja 1s, essentially. When asked, was it purely financially motivated, one source said flatly, no. So that I think is the question for the Ja 3s. Price go up, Jason get back in, we're going to have to see.
Well, we will see. I'm much like you on this first one. I don't feel the need to jump back in here on this first one.
It
doesn't do it for me. That said, It doesn't matter. What we need is a rise among players wearing them.
That's right.
Jai ain't worried about old Smooth.
You've been looking. I think this is the one. I think this will be the one where players adopt it. I truly do. I think this is the one.
And that's more about feel than it is look. Everybody wants to have the thing that feels like the Kobe's. And Sabrina seemed to be one of the closest things. If you're not going to wear the Kobe's, a lot of people wear the LeBron's, but it's those shoes. So it's feel that Ja's got to get here. Hasn't really done it with 1 and 2. Hopefully he's got more of that. That's what you. That's how the shoe takes off.
Mm.
When you have other stars in the league, other guys, high-profile guys, wearing your shoe, that's when it takes off.
No
to
doubt
another
about
realm.
That. Well, and here's the thing, right? Like with the ones, with the Ja ones, there was a novelty to that because we have never had a player play for this franchise with a legitimate signature shoe with Nike.
A Memphis novelty because my Ja one day ones, ain't worth really.
Right. It is amazing.
It didn't go up.
Like you know,
I'm waiting
between the day ones and the PS5, you be getting taxed out here. You know, you got to get a little quicker with the thumbs. Like the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire
again.
Game.
I do better when I'm getting it for Chris as opposed to a man that's almost 50.
That's
worrying
right.
about some jaws dropping. That's you understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
My hand's starting to shake as I do it. I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah. You're not ready.
I'm getting older. That's what I'm saying. What am I? Who am I wearing tennis shoes for?
Yeah.
I'm not getting out there.
That's right.
It's for the player and it's for the son.
It's exactly. So look, there's going to be a time where I get back in. I did not buy any Ja 2s.
You got out too.
I did not buy any Ja 2s.
Let me tell you what takes you out. Kids. That's what takes you out the game.
Well,
you stop worrying about yourself and looking cool.
That's right. And like, I wasn't playing as much basketball.
You know?
So yeah, no, the Telluride is definitely not a.
It's not about how much, right?
Swagmobile.
You didn't buy it for looks.
I bought it for practicality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Our lives change. We grow up, become men.
That's right. That's right. Now, again, I think I will get back in with the Ja 3 because I like the look. I like the, like, I don't know. It looks like almost like the shoe has scales in a way, doesn't it? Like, it's just the material is very interesting to me. Like, it's just, it's, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like the shoe has scales on the upper.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
You know, I don't know what, I'd like to get it in my hand and feel it.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of that. Stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but
you're talking about like that fishiness.
Yeah, it's like spikes or little spikes or I don't know. I don't know what the hell that is, but I will get back in there. You know, there's a lot of interesting colorways that they have sort of previewed here, and so you know, I think that's just going to be.